Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala, Yuck Mala. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am so happy to be with you today. And I am joined by my good friends. I have James Cotta.
I'm going to change my last name to Cold Iron. Now that I've heard that.
That's true. It's a good, strong last name. How about you, Jack? What are you going to change your name to?
Cold Iron.
Cold Iron.
What are you kidding? I want to say how much you say you were good friends. Really, to me, my good friend is Nick because he picked this wonderful movie.
No, I picked this movie.
No, I didn't.
No? Yeah. You did?
I did.
No, Stan.
Yep.
Stan.
Well, I still don't like you, Stan.
Despite.
All right. Well, Nick, I will give you the last name of Boogler. Nick Boogler. How are you?
Greetings. If I must change my name, in this time of great desolation, we need to harden ourselves, and a name should reflect that. I will be Steel Grave.
Well, I mean, you're definitely
was
getting...
Was that dramatic enough for this movie?
I think if you had overdubbed it with a different dramatic voice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You would have nailed it.
All right, well, we are talking Rotor today, and so the reason that I chose this is because the director of this movie is Cullen Blaine, who went on to have a career as an animation director, like for kids shows and stuff like that. Never made another movie, and honestly, that's for the best, because I may have discovered what I think is the most Boogaloo movie ever. I'm not suggesting that it is like, you know, the schlockiest, and certainly doesn't have the most appeal, but there is so much Boogaloo in this here movie that
I think for this basic incompetence, think this is strong, and that's saying something, because we've seen some movies, but when I talk.
This is
like, wow.
This may be the most incompetent movie I've ever seen. Like,
yes, it's unbelievable.
Many times I was like, this montage is really well edited and is doing nothing for the story at all.
Oh, well, on the plus side, Nick has to explain the movie.
Oh, bless you. God bless you.
Yeah,
he's gone on strike. Yeah. He's just rejected.
Sorry, that was funny. Yes, what happens in this movie? You see RoboCop? This one has a motorcycle. In the far future of about 1972 in Texas.
Movie was made in 1987.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it was... in the future of 19... Yeah. The police have a technical division and they develop some sort of super cop robot dude who drives a motorbike. And due to bureaucratic interference, it somehow gains some semblance of sentience or something like that, and goes on a rampage and starts hunting down what I think is supposed to be multiple people, but in this movie, he kills one guy and then starts chasing one girl, and then she's being chased through the rest of the movie. And it's up to the designer. I don't know why the designer, who's also a police officer, would be tasked solely to track down his creation run amok. But that happens in this movie.
Well, that's entirely because of all of the fact that there's people that are embezzling money as part of the project, and it's a whole political angle that he has to go and do this because. But I mean, that's a really high level, which.
But thank God he is the world's most manliest cop, as well as a technical advisor.
Yes,
and he recruits his co-creator from, I think she's from Houston, and she's a girl, and she's a man, and she is named Steel, and that's this movie.
I think she's from Glow. I think she's.
it was either that or American Gladiators. It was one of the two.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, timing wise.
What, fighting Rotor at the end when that's her? That's actually a him. That's some guy. I don't know if the because you did notice when she's walking around she didn't have the hairy armpits that the stunt person who took over had.
I love who looked
directly at the camera despite not being her or looking like her.
I love that. So Cold Iron brings in Steel, which are their real names, to help out capturing Rotor, because he designed the. One of them designed the metal frame, and the other one designed the skin. Right? Did I get that right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what she did, but when she stacked stuff, they stay stacked.
That's right.
I think she designed the frame. I think right.
Yeah. Well, she designed half of it, and it was not unclear which half was which.
You know what though? I think they were too.
Because I think it goes back and forth. So he brings her in, and they're talking highbrow, and then. And then she says, well, you're the brains, I'm the brawn. I'm like, I think you're actually also supposed to be the brain.
She was a doctor, that's too.
That's why you're there.
No.
I don't think you're... He's actually probably surprised that you're the brawn.
Can we just get the scoring so we can go right to WTF?
I don't know how much...
Because otherwise all we're going to do is talk WTFs anyways.
Oh, yeah.
If you can figure out how anything narratively that happens in this movie.
Well, because that's the thing, right? Like, there is these incredible moments right off the top where they're obviously trying to give you some personality to Cold Iron. And it's like, I have got a farm. So meanwhile, we're going to see 5 to 10 minutes of him on the farm.
Fuck, that's amazing. Okay, we do have to go to scoring because it's just everything. Half the show is going to be WTF on this one, so we might as well do it.
Absolutely, it's true.
It's all it's going to be. Unless we want to try and do it chronologically, but then, I mean, the movie was how long? Because we'll be talking about it 10 times as long.
Yes. Oh, this is one where I...
Besides, we have to do our pitches at the end here, so we need time for that.
That's true. I mean, I made the comment that that this is, if we were going to do one movie live where we just talked over it, this one would be the movie. Because something is happening that is Boogaloo all the time.
All right, well, in our search for the ultimate B-movie, which it could be this one. we rate each film in 5 categories, and luckily for Rotor, none of them are objective quality. The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, I give this one a 222 because that's Rotor's number. But if incompetence equals schlock, then 222 is the correct score. But it is so crazy schlocky. Now, that being said, it's also got some crazy boring elements, too. So I can't go to a perfect 10. I'm going to go to a 9.
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely shock. I mean, if you pointed to that movie and said, "Yeah, that's schlock. That's how we define it," I'd go with you. But I have to take off points as well. Well, for incompetence and not really being that fun of a movie. Seven. So yeah, actually, I'll agree with you. Seven.
I love this movie. I love this movie. And so, I mean, when it's actually crazy because almost to a T, like if I had written down exactly what I thought and was going to say and gave it to Stan and he read it out loud, that's what just happened. Like almost word for word, everything you said about the schlockiness, but then there's parts that are boring. So you had to lose a little bit and give it a nine. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a nine as well. I mean the robot cop thing, it's basically like RoboCop if the main character was the Ed 209.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of Terminator in here too, right? So
yeah, it's got some echoes, but I think that he has no character is is what differentiates. The Ed 209 had more depth than Rotor is given.
Oh, well, I thought you meant the lead actor. I think Rotor had a lot more personality than Cold Iron.
I think several of the ants from Phase 4 had more character than Cold Iron.
The best part about this movie, though, is that when you look at this and you're like, fuck, RoboCop was really good.
It was really good. Yeah,
RoboCop was really good, yeah, but I know what you mean. I get what you're saying.
All right. Did we more heart than budget? And I don't know if we heard a budget.
If it's
I don't know if we reported one.
If it's any more than $12, then like this. Oh, I don't know what the budget was, and honestly, I don't care. I mean, it is extraordinarily low budget, and they used all of it and none of it because they used everything in completely the wrong way. there's so much stuff. I'm going to give it a 10 because it's fucked up.
Wow. What?
Because I, as far as I'm concerned, the way they use that money is so ridiculous that it goes beyond my ability to score
How
it.
How did they use that money?
Montages. Yes. lots of editors going, I need you to make a sweet montage about him driving from his ranch in. It's going to be 3 minutes long. Have great music
pulls
over
up
it.
A bunch of trees. There's a bunch of trees, a tree stops, he blows them up, don't worry. It'll make sense. No one will. Did you think they spent the money on that wonderful special effect that was the skeleton that they kept showing us at the beginning?
Yes.
God, they really got some mileage out of that show.
Dude, I oh, just yeah. I just assumed that their budget was $13 and that they couldn't actually find a better looking robot than they had in Chopping Mall.
Oh, well, you mean that robot? That's a real robot that was actually used by the Addison Police Station down there. They spent $17,000 on that robot. That was their actual robot. It was used for public relations and they borrowed it for the movie. I don't know who did the voice, but that was an actual real. So that makes it even more amazing.
That's wicked. I'm still stuck at a 10 for sure, man.
Stan, I've never known you be so wrong. I think there was a vision here at some point, but most of this movie I think can be explained by an editor sitting in a room just going, "What the fuck am I going to do with this shit?" I think trying their hardest to splice two things together to make some semblance of sense because they're getting paid. The actors all did a job, I guess. And they
it was technically
they weren't like horrible in comparison to some of the movies we watched. So,
I actually don't agree.
I mean it's a sliding scale considering some of the shit we watched. I can only go as high as a 7. I mean, your score is insane.
I don't know. I mean, it's really, really, really really, really, really bad. So, in such a wonderful way. But as far as like More Heart Than Bars, it was like, it just felt so much like they're just, yeah, here's what's hot. We're gonna try and do one of these. Anybody can do one of these movies and make a bunch of money. And, you know, I can't go more than a six. I give it a six out of love for how much I enjoyed the experience, not for how much more heart than budget there is.
I think this editor loved what he was doing and put everything into those montages to try to pad this damn thing out, and pad it he did. I also think there was a tremendous amount of one-liners and comedy that were added as ADR.
Yes.
So they were not things they shot on location. They're added as overdubs, lines that are thrown in. There's a bit where Roeder powers himself up at a gas station, and they dropped in extra lines for the mechanic who's there, who's not on camera when he says the shot at the lines. So I think they pushed for some extra gags and some extra bits. I love that it has a they wanted this to be more complicated than it is. Like, they have an opening crawl and a narration. they really wanted to explain stuff. I'm up at a 9 on this.
They tried to explain so much with this movie, and everything was overdubbed. Like, that's the thing. It's like because you see, we watch the credits, and at the end, there's the people's names who overdubbed the lead actors.
Yeah, definitely the lead actor, you could tell, was overdubbed for every single line. Mm-hmm. Every single thing. But yeah, it's I don't know. Maybe I'll go up to a 7 just because, oh, I love it.
I got a lot of heart for it. all right. I hope you have stocked up 200 rolls of toilet paper. It is time for what the fuck moments.
It starts quick with this one. I mean, besides the fact that you get the crawl and there's so much narration off the top, I was beginning to wonder if anybody actually talked on camera. They actually don't. But there's a lot of narration too. The thing was, and this is the whole thing. Like, so it starts out from the end of the story where Cold Iron is getting, comes out of the darkness, and there's cops there, and there's some hillbilly who, and at this point I lose complete control of what's going on in the movie, because I don't know that they actually knew what the hell story they were telling right off the bat. Because Cold Iron got led away in handcuffs, and then he is explaining stuff to the police, and I'm like, is he a police officer? He said he was a police officer, but I'm really confused right now. So that part, I mean, but confusion in this movie, I'm not even going to make that what the fuck, because they were confused, I was confused, it's all good. Now there's little things, so his... When he was at the farm for the 23 minutes that he was at his farm, then they had a wake-up scene, and the coffee was being made, and then his alarm goes off, and he was in the bed. And I was thinking, wow, does he have, like, a robot that makes his coffee for him, too? That would be pretty cool. The smart aleck robot, the Willard there, who actually was a character. I mean, it was kind of weird, but the
sexual harassment robot.
Yeah, exactly, that guy. Now, one of my absolute most biggest what the fuck moments of any movie we've ever done was in the meeting where they do the Brian Wilson University. And they have good vibrations. I Get Around, God Only Knows, Heroes and Villains, and Rock and Roll to the Rescue, all referenced within a 3 to 4 minute period, which was absolutely fucking ridiculous. It was so...
Why was that in the dialogue? Why?
I don't know. It was absolutely... Wow. It was so out of place in that moment. So then there's Boogler, he's got a meeting with Boogler, and Boogler pours a tiny bit of Coke into a glass, And then, of course, in the next scene, you know, speaking to the incompetence, the next shot you have him, and his glass has ice in it, and I'm like, wow, he was really good at putting that ice in that glass there. There's a scene after Cold Iron quits / gets fired, where they go out on a date, and you see it, like, for lunch, and they're just enjoying it, and meanwhile, all they have, like, they're talking, but the music is just blaring, because obviously they didn't record anything, and, you know, you're trying to get the story from him making these motions with his hands and stuff. The cleaning guy, the Native American cleaning guy, who was just one of the most horribly, sex predator plus racist, so much. Once you go red, you never get out of bed. That's his line. That's some stuff. Later on in the movie, I'm just going high level here because I know there's going to be more. Cold Iron stops three criminals from robbing the little store that he has to go to get some
charcoal
briquettes. And there is, at the end, there is the store clerk who was being taken hostage. So Cold Iron starts kicking the ass of all of them, and she just suddenly starts kicking ass using some kung fu action. And it is the most, again, it's another one of these horribly out of place moments. I absolutely loved it.
I was sure at that point, I'm like, well, now she's going to be a character in the movie, because you established that this woman who's being held hostage is actually a kung fu. Now, the actress who did it, clearly had never thrown a kick in her life, but the character is some kung fu master and does some roundhouse kick and knocks everybody out. And he says, boy, we sure could use you on the force. And she never shows up again. No,
never, not at all.
She was off in a whole different movie.
Perhaps one that was less incompetent. But when it comes to Roeder himself, it's like, so let me get this straight. Roeder is a short dude with a mustache. That's basically it's like they didn't even try to make him intimidating looking. It's just like, nope, they put him in leather. That was pretty much the extent of that. In the car, when before Roeder, as Roeder finds them speeding, but the couple is having a conversation about their wedding, and it is, besides extremely long and extremely boring, but the guy's like, oh, I, you know, my wife, she's not allowed to work, like, that's just not, you know, that's not the way, and of course she wants to work, but then he's like, but marriage, you know, it's so barbaric, it's just like, wait a minute, do you understand what you're actually arguing? I'm pretty sure you don't.
It was a strange time in 1987. It was a real transition time.
Yes. Yeah, women still wanted to work.
Yeah, but marriage itself, well, that's barbaric. We wouldn't want that.
That's old fashioned.
Yeah. All right, and then I just got a couple more here.
Don't worry, you're leaving us lots. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, yeah. She goes into this restaurant through the back door, and there is a cook there, and you don't really see it until Roeder comes in, that he is wearing the fakest looking buck teeth. And again, what the hell did you make that decision for? There was no point to that decision. And then, time was a big problem in this movie overall. Like, Cold Iron tells Sony that she has to keep going. And keep driving. And, a few hours. She's got to go for a few hours. Meanwhile, it's like almost 5:45 in the morning, because they're really good about telling you what time it is
They're not really good about
fits.
Having the sun match it.
No, not in the least. But then he's like, okay, I need you to drive. I will meet you at 4 in the afternoon. So
yeah, I need you to be on the run for 11 hours.
Yes. in your car without running out of gas in that regard. But the thing is that, so And of course, Rotor manages to find her, even though Cold Iron has shot out his tire and Rotor has to replace it in the meantime. But the thing is, Cold Iron gets a hold of her on a CB radio in her fucking, like, AMC Hornet or whatever the hell she has. I don't remember.
Didn't she get into a semi at that point?
Yeah, she got into some truck.
She got into a truck, but then the truck disappears again.
Yeah, no, but she was in the car. She was in a car when she was driving.
They shot it out of sequence, dude. I don't know if you noticed.
But I'm quite convinced that that was a car that she was in when she had the CB radio. And I don't remember many cars having CB radios, but this
you live in Texas.
Well, perhaps it was all about Texas. That wasn't my biggest one by any stretch, but needless to say.
In Stan's defense, I've checked the tape. Yes, she is in her car when she uses that CB radio.
Yeah, there you go.
In Texas.
but it's a 10.
Yeah, WTF is strong with this one. I mean, you have Cole's, that whole farm sequence where he's blowing stuff up with Primal Cord. You have Steel, who the entire character mystified me that, you know, she'd come in that late in the movie to help defeat Rotor and come in wearing a haircut that I assume was borrowed from Brian Bosworth. Wow. There's just so much crap in this movie. The dialogue, the names, everybody. I think everyone in this movie kind of thought that their name was the title of this movie. I mean, we got a cop on the radio that just sort of goes, Maloney here. Like, it just punches so hard. This is a high one. I'm going to save some for the rest of you. But yeah, I have to go with a 9 on this.
Yes, it's a crazy WTF. I was originally going to 9. I'm upping it to a 10 because as Stan Lars starts listing them off, and then I start going, yeah, he's not getting them all. I
realize there's so many.
It's just unbelievable. There's shots where Cold Iron is shooting at Rotar, and he has a silver gun, and the next shot is him with him falling over, and he has a black gun, and you're like, how do you not even have the same gun from shot to shot? You know, there's a point where Rotor, for some reason, like the whole reason Rotor's after this woman is because her boyfriend is, like, say, is speeding. He rounds the corner and Rotor's sitting there and sees them and sees that they're speeding. Except for that we can see the car is going like 12 miles an hour, tops. Like, it's not going fast at all. So there they are in the car, and the two of them are arguing, and Rotor's coming after them. And they were speeding, so he's going to kill them for that. And meanwhile, the footage they use of the background has other cars passing them. And I'm like, from behind this stuff. It's unbelievable. Oh, Rotor has, like, holes in his jacket and then doesn't have holes in his jacket where he's being shot out of sequence. He's at his ranch. It's the middle of the day. And then he immediately goes to the city. And as he's driving to the city, the sun is rising. And, you know, like it's just, like, the time sequences are back and forth all over the place. There's so many sequences where there's a sequence with the Cold Iron and his the boss character, the whatever Boogler, where they're on the phone. It felt like for 7 or 8 days, like just all this dialogue explaining everything you don't need to know. It's so insanely boring, but they kept on. There was this toy that used to, like, this little rotor robot toy that people used to have, and he has it on his desk, and for the whole most of the thing it's just this robot kind of going back and forth and doing nothing on this table for no reason. It's an amazing film. It's an amazing level of incompetence, and it's definitely a 10.
Jesus, there's a lot in this movie. I don't even want to touch the ones that there's so much at the end, and I'm not going to get into any of those.
Because then we'd have to try to explain the story.
Since you weren't going to explain any of them, you mean like how he throws ropes on Rotor to capture him, and then throws the end of the rope into the water, and it's tight, and it's in water, it's not to anything.
Well, and I don't know how they got the, like, it took them 5 minutes to get him into one rope, and yet in the next 20 seconds they managed to get him into three other ones.
And it was, the rope was important because it's introduced in the 4 minute long scene at his ranch, which, as far as I could tell, is the only reason that the scenes at the ranch exist, is because he needs a rope later. the montages, though. I mean, the montages, not only... Okay, so we've got the montage at the ranch, which, again, is just him making a freaking cup of coffee and then talking to a horse. and using a rope, because that will be vital. So death cord, actually, to be precise. Then there's a montage where he takes his lady friend to lunch after he got fired. That's 3 minutes long. And she's never seen again. She doesn't appear in the movie the rest of the time. So there's nothing story-wise happens during that scene. And then we have, what was the third? There was a third montage that also did. There was a driving montage. He drives from the ranch to the science-y building. Again, well, taking
at least they had voiceover.
There are two notes in my notes here that one of them is 11 minutes in. Seriously, what the actual fuck? it's the note. yes, it's not a montage-y scene, but it is the scene that confuses me the most about this movie. So he picks up Dr. Steele. They talk a lot in the car, where she, you know, really downplays her abilities as a scientist. really more interested in talking about her fitness regime than she is the science thing that she invented. And then he takes her to a hotel, mm-hmm. and then they go to a room. She unpacks. They have a cup of coffee. They talk about things more, and then they go to leave the hotel, and then they run as they exit the hotel.
Yeah. And they've got to push through people. But
yeah, out of the way. We're in a hurry.
But remember, in the hotel room, he is monologuing to himself at the window, and then he turns around after his lengthy monologue, and she's standing there, all changed, like fucking Superman or something, right?
You remind me of the scene where Sony, she goes to the, she's in the bar or whatever she settles in, and Rotor comes in through the kitchen, and she's in a bar, and it's packed, the place is packed, and then you hear he walks in and you hear all these sounds of people screaming and running, and then it cuts back to her and everything is neatly in its place, all the tables are cleaned off, everything, it looks like it's just,
oh, and but him framed in the door with that, like, the silhouette look and the like bright shining lights, it's the most beautiful shot they have in the entire movie, and of course it's nonsensical because of where they put it.
Yes.
I've got a tiny thing I want to hit before I give it my 10 out of 10. so his lady friend goes back to his place, and he's got a couple of steaks. They're gigantic Texas-sized steaks. About 4 pounds of meat there. And he's got them in his hands. And then he hands them to her jokingly. He's like, here's the steaks. And they're like, ah, ha, ha. So she's got the steaks in her hands. And then he takes his hands and he puts them in his pockets of his jacket to wipe off his hands from the steak juice that he's just had on it, and heads out.
Well, this is Texas after all. That's okay in Texas.
That's where you keep your steak blood is right in your pockets. So 10 out of 10 for me. Memorable moments.
The sheer incompetence of this movie is something that I will never, ever forget. I mean, it's got some good lines. Like, honestly, like one of my favorite lines is, what is this, some low-budget sci-fi flick? that's quite on the nose.
Oh, that was funny.
You've got it. There's just... you know, and I grant you, like, it's like most of the movie is what the fuck, but just the sheer incompetence, the fact that it's so, like, all the montage scenes, all the narration, all the overdubbing, like, all the, like, this is one where I would just love to sit in a room with Cullen Blaine and be like, so why?
Explain yourself.
Yeah. Or the script by Bud Lewis, which is, you know, amongst the worst scripts ever ever written. Like, just why? What made you decide that this was a good idea? So for me, I'm going to go with a 7.
I can't go high on this film because I didn't actually like it all that much. I love the dialogue, and I mean, it is a quotable movie. It's quotable as fuck. It really is. But am I going to remember it other than a Terminator clone that really didn't deliver what it promised with a bad title? No, I can only do a 6. It doesn't have the quality to stick around.
Oh, yeah, it's all WTFs. I mean, there is, what was that one line? Something about, you know, I'll be making more noise than two skeletons doing a salsa in a tin coffin or something like that. Like
two skeletons making love in a tin coffin.
Gold Iron had the best lines. Like, honestly,
oh, God, he does.
Had a bunch of those. So those will give those help it. But overall, I'm down to a 5 on this one.
I will say that movie poster does overpromise and underdeliver.
Well, because Rotor actually in the movie poster, Rotor actually looks like a robot. Like he doesn't look like a short fucking guy with a mustache. You know.
I think some of the dialogue is going to stick with me. I think the tone of the humor of the dialogue is going to be the most memorable, and the there's a lot of pseudoscience in the movies that we do on this show, but the lack of any attempt to explain stuff is just incredible. At one point, one of the in the big briefing, 20 minutes into the movie, someone says, like, "Well, there's no gears, there's no, like, you know, joints or anything on this this, you know, robot that we're looking at. How does it move?" And Cold Iron is annoyed by the question and says, "It has a prime directive." And I'm like, I don't know how that answers the question. And then later when he talks about the prime directive, it's not that.
No. I like, they say that the rotor has absolutely no emotions. And yet most of the movie, Cold Iron gets away and it turns and it'll be like annoyed. It'll be like, and like pump both its fists.
Straight for someone with no emotions.
For no reason. No, how can we have gotten to this point and not have mentioned that it sets up a sequel with Steel being actually being also a robot or a rotor at the end?
Rotor 2, yes. But and honestly, the even funnier part is the fact that we never even mentioned the part that we mentioned in Phase 4 about Rotor being stopped by noise, but nobody focusing on that for longer than 10
dangerous,
seconds.
The most dangerous thing on the planet and its kryptonite is a car horn.
Like, I would just be like, oh, I'm gonna hold on to this car horn until
motorbike. Unless it's on its motorbike making all that noise doesn't affect him at all. Luckily for him, that motorbike that was there as display was fully gassed.
Yeah, well, as was her car.
Oh, man.
I think the car might be a perpetual motion device.
Did we mention a 10 on WTFs yet?
Almost across the board. There was a holdout.
Almost. Huh?
So 7 unmemorable moments for me, too. I think it's more tone and feel that will that'll stick with me. The final category is crazy concept.
It's a shame because it's such a such a RoboCop ripoff. Ultimately, I mean, like, yes, you've got the Terminator stuff in there too. So, like, that's the thing, that we're taking so many elements of these and just jamming it and saying, like, oh, we're gonna make something and it's gonna. Well, I don't know what the hell they were trying to make, but they made something. The only reason I'll give it a 3 is just because they made something weird.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Preach it, Nick.
Oh. Nick.
Yeah. No, no. Wow. No, I'm.
Yeah,
this isn't crazy. I'm 5.
Okay. 7. Cause can you imagine like 4 guys, for instance, just deciding with no money and no experience and no knowledge of what they're doing to just make a movie? Like, that's basically it feels like what these people did.
Oddly enough, I can.
What?
I can picture that. a 7 for me, and really it's that the way he would pitch this movie is not even close to what the movie actually ends up being.
Nope,
because Roder doesn't show up until like halfway through. He never appears as a robot. There's not even like in this movie you would typically get a reveal at the end where like, you know, part of his face falls off and there's like a big, you know, robot skull or something. They don't even do that.
Well, Steel reaches into his like chest cavity and then they kind of
in there.
Yeah, and then they kind of like reverse the image the image
all this,
and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's all weird.
This gunk and stuff like that. Yeah. All this gunk and everything that's all over her hands. She rips them apart. And then in the next shot there's none on her.
That's the most sci-fi thing there at the end.
You know what? I'm gonna go up to a 6 because you guys have sold me on this.
Let's go. And you know what? At WTS, I'm going up to an 11.
Well, with my 222 for schlock appeal, then
this movie's going to do well.
All right. In each season, we have 6 secret modifiers. This film does pick up 2 of them. It does get a -1 because it sets up a sequel.
What does it ever?
For having the balls.
We left the fact that Boogler shoots Cold Iron at the very end, and then it goes to Cold Iron's nephew. And that's where Rotor 2 is coming from, is from Cold Iron's nephew. Like,
oh yeah,
wow.
It sets up. He was
like
the star.
When Boogler shot Cold Iron, it was just like, what? Huh? You what? Huh? Like, what? Hey, what was the point? You know, for the most part.
Yeah, he says something like, justice is served. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what you were mad at him for. I don't, I don't know what he did. Like, it's your motivation seems unclear at this point. The other modifier it does get is picks up a +1 because, as noted, the director went on to have a ridiculously successful career in animation with something like 86 credits for storyboarding in animated shows for decades.
And he worked for Disney and stuff, so, I mean, you know, like big companies, yeah.
Oh yeah,
he didn't put this on his resume.
Well, he might have put it down as Blue Steel, the alternate title.
Yes.
This is a great movie.
Well, that gets us to a final total of a really respectable 78 out of 100, which probably puts it in the top 20. Tied with Chopping Mall by coincidence.
That is very coincidental.
And Hot.
Oh, I mean, this
3 movies thematically so similar.
Oh yes, there's just
they all had a robot.
Yeah,
it did.
And oddly enough, you know, like I'm not sure which robot looked worse.
Competition.
The one from Hots is still my favorite.
Man,
I'm so pissed you guys didn't put that on. That would put it in the Saints of Boogaloo in the Hall of Fame.
I think the Huddle of that movie should have gone into the Hall of Fame.
Well,
that's true.
But yeah, Rotor was a special. In a case of what the fuck's flying at you left, right, and center, that's for sure. Okay. Jim, let's do some business.
All right. Well, this octagon we've been talking about is on wetalkpodcasts.com, and they are also our show sponsor, so check them out on Facebook and on Twitter. And we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And also, please rate and subscribe to the show on YouTube and on your favorite podcast app.
All right. Well, I do believe that. So next episode, we're going to go with another one of my movies. We've got Tracks showing, starring Shadow Stevens. So I look forward to talking about that one. I think it's going to be a quite a bit different of a tone than Rotor was.
Why are you taking credit for Nick's movie here?
Nice. All right. Well, why don't we get down to the other business of choosing our next season's season?
Gym Raid!
Yes.
I forgot he has a Gym Raid. Yeah.
God damn, I forgot too. I need to wind the Gym Raider up.
Meanwhile, we'll talk about some more WTS we haven't mentioned yet. Yeah, just to fill the time. It's like a couple billion. Oh my god. Oh, best movie I've ever seen, ever. Like, I really was thinking, I'm like, is this the best? And then I'm like, no, because there is those super slow moments.
Oh yeah.
Like it's literally just... that phone conversation went from, oh my god, this is boring, to, oh my god, this is hilarious, to, it's boring again, to, it's hilarious again, because of how long it was.
But I mean, dude made coffee for his fucking horse, right? Like, I know. Brings the coffee cup out there, lets the horse slurp out of it.
He's a cowboy scientist, dude, who isn't?
Yeah, I know.
They say they're in Dallas, and yet the police that they do show are not from Dallas. You can see that they're from that Addison, the city it was actually filmed in. They don't care as little details like that.
No, and then I love the fact that he carried his like fucking 44 Magnum or whatever the hell it was in his pants at all times, like in his belt. Like, he's a cop, but it's just like, yeah, no, I don't favor a holster. I favor sticking it right.
Except for the scenes where he has a holster. Well, and then it goes back to his belt. Yeah.
Yeah, when he has that silver gun and then the black one. And, yeah. Okay, you got the Gym Raider ready?
I do, yeah.
All right,
and Gym Raid. Oh, me! It's me first. I was unprepared for that. I should have thought, you know, there's a 1 in 4 chance.
But... you also could have just said, "It's Nick." Because we
I would never. I would never interfere with the sanctity of the gym raider. All right, as many people know, Blade Runner took place 2019. Back to the Future took place in 2017. Back to the Future 2. Strange Days took place in the year 2000. So my pitch is films that take place in a year that we've already passed, but it was the future when they made the movie. I call it The World of Tomorrow.
That's interesting.
Right?
It's interesting.
See, I know what I'm already going to pick for that. So, you sort of got me there.
Ooh. I don't, but there's definitely options there.
Oh, there's lots.
There's
of
a lot of movies question. Where they thought a lot of movies where they thought that what the future would look like, and it didn't.
Let's do all right. Class of 1999. I'm coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
Rotor was supposed to be the robot of 25 years away. Yeah, which was like 2012. This was the robot this was the cop they needed for 2012.
2002. he had very loose timelines originally.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Gym Raid, the sucker.
And Gym Raid. It is Nick.
It is Nick.
All right. All righty. Now, I am calling this concept Boogaloo Beyond the Numbers. And in this season, we will discuss franchise films that take place or are made after they've dropped the numbering system in the franchise. So usually they get to about 6, and then after that they drop. Think of the Hellraisers we can pick on this one.
Do you know there are over 20 Amityville movies?
Didn't they just come out? I saw one that was like 2019. I'm like, what?
Are you kidding? They released like 3 in the past year, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like a reboot again. I'm like, what? Didn't they just do that?
The time though, they just call it the Amityville something or whatever. I mean, it has nothing to do with the other movies at all. But
Amityville Asylum.
And, yeah, 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 it's just an easy way to, like, when you say that it's that there's over 20 Amityville movies, it's like they're not tied together.
There's the Amityville. But
I mean, we got Children of the Corn movies coming out the wazoo too, so
there's the Amityville unsettling noise. There's the Amityville
house driveway haunted horror.
Yeah. There's the Amityville. Are you going to eat that? That's
all right. And Jimmerate. It is Jack.
I was not expecting that. I guess there was only a 50-50 chance.
I don't know if you understand odds, but there was.
All right. Well, you guys know I like to mix things up. I like to throw things for a loop, keep things fresh for us and the listeners. I don't think it's the time to do that, though, because we've been doing that a lot lately. So I'm picking really not a high concept thing. I'm sticking to something that's fairly low concept, but because I know that if we do this, if we just talk about what of our pitches is going to have the most great boogaloo, I think it's mine here. It's something I call big league boogaloo. It means that you have to have pick a movie where the star, or at least a main role, has to have been a known professional athlete. And it has to be an actual professional athlete. It can't be like fake athlete, like a wrestler or a figure skater or something like that. And it can't be, you know, like it has to be like a sport. It can't be a game like darts or pool or golf. It has to be a sport. So a known professional athlete in a major role. And yes, I mean, we're talking brilliant boogaloo in this concept.
So in other words, you know, the Adam Sandler movie, his golf one is out.
Well, he's not a former professional athlete, is he?
No, but there's lots of golfers that are in there that are former professional golfers, or probably current professional golfers, I guess.
Oh, they're professional golfers. Yeah, no, they play a game. It's a game. It's not a good sport. No, never can be a golf. So it's a game. Okay.
All right, Big League Boogaloo.
Big League Boogaloo.
All right, Stan? Well, you decided to bring it down. And I decided to go high concept and low concept all at the same time. So what I am suggesting is a season called In Search Of... dot, dot, dot. And then what we will be doing In Search Of is we will each choose two words that, like, so maybe pirates or aliens. And then Jim will roll the dice... And then whichever number comes up, that is what we are doing the season of. So In Search Of rolls a 7. That one's aliens. In Search Of aliens.
Wow, we've never lost one before the voting before.
Well, I'm still not 100% sure I get it. Like, so are you saying that...
We each give, like, two words. Jim just writes them down, puts them in, like, random order, rolls the 8-sided dice, one of those words comes up, and then that's our season concept.
That's or the movie we pick, like you're saying that's the season concept, or is it like this, that if it's a 1, it's zombies, if it's a 2, it's aliens, if it's a 3, it's monsters in a forest.
Yes.
And then you roll the 8-sided dice, and I get, say, 3 and 6.
No.
So I have those, and you would get, how you're doing it?
No, I was just...
That's a good concept.
I mean, we could totally do it that way too. It's just choose 8, and then we each get the 2.
I think that's a good concept. I think for me, I'm voting for Mr. James Cotter, though, because what was your concept again, James? I can't even remember.
The World of Tomorrow.
Oh yeah, The World of Tomorrow. That's what I'm voting for. Just because I think that yours is too. I don't want to do the modifiers for your stand. that's really what it comes down to. I don't want to pick modifiers for that. That's why it was something that wasn't difficult, and so that's I'm going to stick with Jim's.
Yeah, no, I knew I was going with Jim as soon as he said two words. By the way, did we do modifiers for the last film?
Uh huh.
Yes, we did.
One of each.
Yeah. Yep. It was one of each.
Okay. Yeah.
Modifiers less memorable than the movie.
that's really what happens with the modifiers. Yeah. Now, half the time we forget to give them. All right.
Well, I will go with Jack's Big League Boogaloo. Because I already know a movie I could put in there.
So well, I'm going to go with Jim's concept then.
Nice.
All right, we got it. Jim's concept. Of course, this means we can't do Simon Says with Dennis Rodman.
That's too bad.
Well, when we do the Dennis Rodman season,
that's true.
I'll find a time to get Steel starring as Shaquille O'Neal in eventually.
Exactly.
Steel. Keep in mind for that one.
Simon Says.
Oh, there's no shortage of movies.
Oh yeah,
the films of Howie Long.
Oh yeah, Firestorm, dude.
Oh god, Howie Long.
Yeah, are we sure we're going with?
Yes, we are.
One last bet. I still say Jim. Jim, we'll have some fun with that one.
Fantastic.
Okay, well, we know what we are doing. In four, but we still have four more episodes of One Shit Wonders. The Boogaloo. All right. Does anybody have anything else to say before we trundle on off?
Yeah, I just want to say, Nick, kiss my ass.
Excellent.
See, I'd reply, but I'm still trying to figure out what the hell a trundle is.
All right. For Nick and for Jack and for Jim, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
25 years in the future, the ultimate weapon against crime will be the judge, jury, and executioner. And it will not be human. But here, the future has already arrived 25 years too soon.
Impossible!
Robotic.
It's okay, honey. It's a police officer.
Officer. Tactical. Operation. Research. Rotor. Its prime directive. To judge. And to execute. Anything that stands in its way.
The Rotor walked through a busload of nuns to get to a jaywalker.
The perfect police officer.
It won't stop.
A prototype of what is to come. But pray, it never comes to this.
He's programming himself.
An unstoppable force. Without flesh and blood. Rotor.